Hello and welcome to A Vashon Minute, where we take a moment to focus on one island issue or one island person at a time. Opinions expressed on this show are those of the participants alone and do not reflect the opinions of anyone officially associated with Voice of Vashon. I'm Susan McCabe, your host for this episode, where we are going to learn a bit about what it's like to live in and leave your home when it's under siege. I am privileged to be joined by Olga Zatsapelina, who emigrated to Vashon from Ukraine and is working at the Side Stack Record Store on Vashon Highway. Welcome, Olga, and thank you for taking the time to tell us your story. How long have you been in the United States and how long on Vashon Island?
Hello, nice to meet you, Susanna. So I'm staying in the island for 2 months, and this is my first experience in America, so it's not 2 months only in Vashon, it's also in all America.
So you're getting your idea of what America is like from Vashon Island?
If I would say my opinion about America, I could think only about Vashon for now, and I would say that people here are super nice. They are super, I would say, happy and enjoyable. So I would say that there's a difference actually between Americans and even Europeans. And it's always about how nice people here. And that's actually great.
Nicer than Europeans?
Yeah, I would say that. And you can feel it even like in the airport. As soon as I left the aircraft, staff in the airport started waving, saying, "Welcome to Seattle, welcome to America, nice to meet you," and all this thing. And usually it's like not happening in Europe, in my personal experience at least.
Well, that's kind of thrilling. So how did you get here? Who did you have to have a sponsor?
Yeah, so to get to America, you usually need to spend a lot of time to get in your visa, and it usually could take like 2 years. And unfortunately, I don't have this time to get a visa because in my country, it's not really safe now. So that's why my way to get here was to using the United for Ukraine. It's a program. It's a special program for Ukrainian people. And the idea of that you get a sponsor who are responsible for you, and these people or this person usually kind of your financial support to be here, and he's responsible for you to stay in America.
So who is your sponsor?
My sponsor is actually an amazing family. Their last name is Lawson, and they super nice. They care about me a lot. They just an amazing people.
And are they here on Vashon?
Yeah, they live in here about 12 years, and they like this island a lot, and I understand why. Now I get the point why. And they help me a lot. They help me with all documentation, and then they provide the small, tiny cottage. So I live like separately. I have my own space, which I really appreciate. And they built it right before I came here. So it was like just for me. They built the whole cottage just for me.
Brand new cottage for you. And you have a job.
Yeah. I'm working in Side Stack Record Store. I met Isaac. He's a big musician and a really cool and nice guy. And he just got this store, and he really need help to manage this store. And fortunately, I have my bachelor's degree in master administration, and then my master's degree in organization management and business economics. So I feel like I'm the right person on the right place with the right people there.
You're probably overqualified.
I don't think so.
Your English is outstanding. Were you educated in Ukraine?
I studied in Ukraine, but on English. So all my bachelor was in English. And then my master in Spain also was in English. So I think I still make a lot of mistake when I'm talking, and I understand that it's kind of fine because it's really hard to combine vocabulary and then grammar, and then also you need to think about the sense that you're talking. Like,
yeah,
it need to mean something for people, and you keep all these things in your head trying to sound naturally, but sometimes you just kind of sound like a caveman, and I got it, and that's that's something that happened to, I guess, all immigrants and for all people who learn in other languages.
Yes, I've tried, and you're doing a lot better than I've ever done. So tell us, where did you live in Ukraine before you came here, and what was it like there when you left?
So originally, I was born in Luhansk. For now, this territory occupied for 9 years already. So when you hear news on the your TV or in internet, and they say it's have been like 2 years of war, it's actually not. It's much longer. But the active mode of this war start like 2 years ago. So we left Luhansk in 2007, I think. Yeah. And we moved to Kharkiv. All this region, Luhansk and Kharkiv, located on the east of Ukraine. So our neighbor is actually Russia. So
very close.
Super close. Kharkiv probably like 40 kilometers to the borderline with the Russian. That's why this city and all other cities that located close enough to Russia, they suffer a lot. A lot.
And when did you actually leave Kharkiv?
So I left Luhansk in 2007, and then I moved to Kharkiv in that year, and then I was in Kharkiv all my life. I never changed a city after that. So when the war came into my home, I was there, and first 6 months I was volunteering, helping people with food. I brought food to the dangerous region of Kharkiv, where it's like nobody can go. There's no supermarkets working, so people actually without anything, and usually they don't have any water, any electricity, any like propane, so they can't cook, or they can also buy food. So that's why we work with the volunteer organization World Central Kitchen doing that. And I did it for 6 months, and after that I left and go to Spain to get my master's degree there.
So how long ago was that? How long ago did you go to Spain from Kharkiv?
Oh, I left Kharkiv for 1 year. My master program was like 1 year. So I studied like 9 months. And then I start to write my master's degree, and for that I can't be anywhere. So I spent one more month in Italy, and then I came back to Ukraine. And after that I was in Ukraine for 3 months again.
So were you still in Kharkiv? And you, when you were in Ukraine, did you return to Kharkiv?
Yeah, of course. I was missing my parents a lot, and they never left city. So I decided that if I will come back to Ukraine, I can stay on the west or in the center of Ukraine. I decided that I will go home. I will go to see my parents, like talk to them, spend time with them. My hope was to find a job, but that was also pretty difficult because all companies left Ukraine, especially companies that was in Kharkiv, because it's too dangerous. They either moved to the center of Ukraine, or they just left country at all and moved to Slovakia or to Poland, to any other countries. So it was super hard to find a job there.
So while you were in Ukraine the last time, did you experience bombing and the actual war? How close were you to it?
Kharkiv super close to a front line. So, yeah, usually like every evening you kind of prepare, so now it will is going to be loud. You know that that's going to happen.
Mm.
And when I was there, it wasn't that often. It's usually like one time per day, usually in the evening. Now things getting worse. Now it's like several times, massive missiles going, different type of weapon, drones, missiles, like different kind of bombing happening. So I think I left country just in right time.
What are you hearing from your friends and neighbors who are still in Ukraine? And how does that compare to what you're hearing on American news about what's going on right now?
I would say that, of course, my friends for now experience not the greatest time. And our city, Kharkiv, bombing a lot during like last month, a lot, like really a lot. And yeah, I sometimes can't see that like American government trying to do something. They like thinking about programs, different type. They trying to find a way to send us money or weapon. They thinking about us. But of course, they cannot report about every missile in Ukraine because it will take all your time on the internet and on the TV.
How are your parents doing, assuming they're still there? Are they still there?
Yeah.
How are they doing?
My dad doesn't have a work for a really long time. His factory was destroyed. So he was just waiting for something else that where he could work. So 1 year he was without any job. And my mom, she has her job, and her job is really important. She is the person who usually fixing all damage after missiles and bombing. So as soon as missile hit road or like playground for children, like, I don't know, trash can or just a bench, she need to report, ask for another organization to fix it or to bring new one or to paint if it's damaged. So
she's sort of organizing reconstruction as damage happens. Is that what's happening?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's an important job. It's also kind of dangerous. Do you worry about her?
Yeah, I worry a lot about my parents generally. Even if they just sitting at home, it doesn't mean that they're safe.
Right.
It's even better if they somewhere on their way to work or back home, because then they at least in underground where it's more safe. Because as soon as you're at home, you never know, missile will fall down on your building or to the next one, or it will not fall down. They're like,
do you find that while you are here where it is safe, you still feel that fear or that apprehension that a bomb is going to drop or that something bad is going to happen?
I feel safe actually. But still, if something loud happened near me, I'm like, oh,
yeah,
what happened? And then it's still so weird to hear a plane in the sky. It's still, I'm always like, look, and it's just a civil plane. It's all right, Olan, don't worry.
Wow, because those other planes were bombers.
Yes. And also in Ukraine now, of course, there's no civil planes too, because it's not allowed. All our airports are not working in like civil way. So yeah, it's just weird to hear a plane for me. Even though I'm like here for 2 months, it's still something interesting.
Sure. That's not a long time to get over those experiences. Yeah. You may never get over those experiences. So what is your hope while you're here in the United States? What is it you hope to accomplish?
So ideally, I hope that I will work, I will get my experience, and then after 2 years, I can come back to Ukraine. And I can use all my skills, all my experience and my education to help my country to be a normal country again. Because for now, our financial situation is not amazing, of course. A lot of buildings destroyed, a lot of people left country, some of them left forever. So ideally, if I could do that, I will try to get as much experience here as I can to go back and use it for my country.
This may be an unfair question because it's asking you to speculate on global activities, but do you or your parents have any sense of victory for Ukraine and how soon that can happen?
I would say that hopefully everybody thinks that maybe one more year, only 1 year, and things will be better. It doesn't mean that like war is ending, but at least active mode of war will end. In a perfect world, we can get all our territory back and all our people, but will come back from the like abroad. But to do that, we need to pay a really big price. It's a human lives. Yes. So everybody who fight for this territory, we could never get them back. And it's like a big discussion about that. Maybe Ukraine should just forget about our occupied territory. And then, but for what then all people died? Maybe we should fight more and get them back. But also Ukraine for itself can't fight. We really need support from another countries. We really need support in case of weapon, in case of human resource, in case of financial support also. So if that happened and if we will have enough resource, probably in 1 year we could stop it. Maybe at least active mode of war.
With help from your partner countries in Europe.
Yeah, only with help.
Yeah, right. And I'm sure you're aware, and I'm hoping that those who are listening are aware of the international implications if Russia is allowed to run over Ukraine. If we allow Russia to win this war, then we have a much bigger problem on our hands.
Yeah, that's I think it's absolutely true. First of all, Russia barely can manage their own territories. And I never get the point why they take in more and more. They attacked Georgia for a long time, and each day their borderline going further, like meter by meter, and they want to take Ukraine, and then who will be the next?
Yes.
Poland,
right.
Latvia, right. Slovakia, who?
Right. Right.
We don't know. And as soon as Russia came closer to European Union, it will be worse situation for European Union. You don't want to have a crazy neighbor. Never. Like,
right.
What's the point of that? You
right.
Just, it's better to have peaceful Ukrainians around, not aggressive Russians.
I'm hoping that the folks in our government, particularly the legislators in our House of Representatives, will somehow figure that out. And its implications for the United States and the rest of the world. I am impressed with your wisdom and your understanding of the situation. So I know you said Americans are nice because your experience at Seattle and Vashon has been good. What, if anything else, has surprised you about daily life in the United States?
Checks. Yes. I was shocked. That's... So when you immigrant, you need to do some things before start to do anything. You'll need to get your social security number, your cell phone, your bank account. So when I did my bank account, they asked me, so we're opening your savings and do you want a check account? And I'm like, check account? It's like, what? And I was so happy because my friend Nate was with me and he said, Ola, you want this account. And I'm like, this is like when you actually took a paper and write down the number and put the sign. And he said, yes. And I use it like one time because I rent an apartment and they need it.
Sure.
And I'm like, you still have a system like in 19th century of writing down prices with your like signature or name, I don't know, on the paper, and then you give it to the bank. And yes, it still exists.
So it's all digital in Ukraine.
Yeah, Ukraine's like, I love America. There is like, I really think that this is a great country. But in the case of digital things, we so ahead. Our transaction in bank took like 1-2 seconds. If it's 2 minutes, you start to worry. Probably something wrong.
Wow.
It's not like 1-3 days. If days, it's like, I don't know what we could do for 3 days. So usually you pay from your bank account for absolutely everything. For your cell phone, for all utilities. You can send money to another person like immediately. It's usually like 1 second.
Well, we are just getting used to that idea. That's kind of new for Americans, though we do have Venmo and PayPal and we do have online banking. I'm not sure. It does take a couple of days. You're right.
Yeah.
So that's it. Well, Olga, we could talk to you forever. Is it okay if people drop by and visit you? When are you at the store?
I'm at the store every day, but not on Monday, Thursday and Sunday. And then from 12 to 6, I'm happy to see everybody. You're more than welcome. I will be here ready to talk to you a lot. Usually I'm alone and lonely there.
All right. I can tell you folks, drop into the store. It'll be interesting just to see all the stuff they have and to talk to Olga Zatsapelina, who has a fabulous smile and a great story to tell. Olga, thank you so much for joining me here on A Vashon Minute. And thank you, folks, for listening. Stay tuned to the Voice of Vashon. You never know what might happen next.